And welcome back, Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. And we're joined now by Tony Leah. And Tony has a, I guess I could say, he's the proprietor of a site, Solinet, Solinet.ca. And on that site, there is an article that I think everyone should read, a very important one. The title of it is Australian Unions. Workers have no interest in war with China. Tony, welcome to the program.
Hi, Phil.
You've taken on a really timely matter, and it's touching on something which we don't see enough of. That is, organized labor, representatives of organized labor in Australia, discussing, I guess we'll call it the foreign policy, and certainly the military posture of the government of Australia, and challenging them and making known to their members the problems inherent in this so-called AUKUS deal, Australia, UK, and US, where they are going to buy nuclear submarines. So tell us about that. What do you know about these unions, and what are they saying?
Sure. First union I want to talk about is the Maritime Union of Australia, and it represents some 16,000 port workers mainly. And of course, we know the militant and progressive role that maritime unions and maritime workers around the world have always played. And this union issued a statement on September 21st, which is the UN International Day of Peace. And they said that they declared their total opposition to the reckless announcement by Scott Morrison, who's the Prime Minister of Australia, that Australia would be developing nuclear-powered submarines as part of a military alliance with the US and UK. And they pointed out that the deal will continue to escalate unnecessary conflict with China, that workers have already been impacted with seafarers stranded on coal ships and some trades shut down. And they advocated that the tens of billions of dollars that would be going to pay for the US nuclear submarines would far better be spent improving healthcare and education in Australia, transitioning to renewable energy sources that would provide jobs in Australia, and or providing benefits to unemployed workers. And I thought it was an extremely important statement that here we have a union doing what unions really ought to be doing, which is thinking about the class interests of workers, their members, and not just their members, but all workers as a class, and pointing out when the government of their country is acting against the interests of workers, and really doing the bidding of the United States in trying to ramp up tensions and hostility towards China. And I was really excited when I read the statement, because that's what I would love more unions and union leaders in Canada to do, to think about the class interests of their members and understand when the government, our provincial government or our federal government, are acting in the interests of corporations, billionaires, not in the interests of workers, particularly in the foreign policy that they follow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we have also political parties that want the vote of labor. And we have the phenomenon in Canada, this debate to supporting social democrats or not. And when labor gets involved, it's particularly when you have unions as enlightened as these, it raises the potential that the political discourse in the political realm will be clearer, and the potential hazards and benefits of the voice of labor being, if instead of being patronized and put on the sidelines, having to be listened to.
Exactly. It's so important for the leaders of unions, the leaders of the working class to think about and educate people about what their broader class interests are and to challenge political leaders. The working class is a majority. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's often forgotten or ignored. And people want to talk about fictitious ideas like, you know, a middle class, which can't be defined and doesn't really exist, as a way of obscuring the fact that if you want to appeal to the masses of people, the majority of people, you have to think about what are the interests of workers, because they are the majority.
Yes.
The other union in Australia that took a really strong stand was the Electrical Trades Union, the ETU. And they issued a similar statement about this AUKUS deal. Mm-hmm. And they pointed out that it was not in the interests of Australian workers and that it only benefited the U.S. or U.S. corporations. And they pointed out how beholden Australia would be through this deal to having the United States supply these nuclear-powered submarines at immense cost, where very little of the work would be done in Australia, and they would be totally dependent, even more dependent than they are now, on the United States for supplying parts and material and the for these submarines. Yeah. And the statement says, nuclear submarines will require significant offshore maintenance, undermining Australia's sovereign capability. Surely the recent experience with COVID demonstrated the danger of relying on international supply chains for the core needs of a self-respecting nation. And I'm sure that, you know, most Canadian workers will immediately understand what we've just been through in the past year and a half, where we were dependent on corporations to supply N95 respirator masks, for example. And when we had ordered several million of them, we found out that the company, 3M, that supplied them, could be told by the President of the United States, no, you're not allowed to ship those to Canada.
Exactly. Actually, yes, that statement sounds like something that Linda McQuaid could have written. I mean, it's an echo. She raised this point and underscored that phrasing of a self-respecting nation. Of course, a nation that can look, promises to look after its own and does so, as opposed to just rhetoric. Again, we're speaking to Tony Leo. Solonet.ca, workers have no interest in war with China. I'm sorry they didn't take up the matter of, it really isn't terribly good for the reputation of Australia to stab France in the back, which is kind of an important backdrop, pardon the pun, of, you know, making a stable and safe world. Australia is part of the network and always been tight with West Europe. And the French say of Australia and of particularly the United States, you stabbed us in the back. And I hope the trade unionists of Australia will contact the trade unionists of France and say, you know, that wasn't us. And we ought to be worrying about true friendship amongst peoples. Quite a demonstration that you can't trust the capitalist classes in these countries. Tony, about the matter of COVID came up here, and that has also been in the news. There's been some, frankly, misreporting or reporting that was too quick, with people saying, organized workers, unions, were demonstrating in Australia against two things, I think, lockdown and what they called mandatory vaccinations, or I suppose it involved a whole ball of wax, vaccine passports. And there were photographs, photos in journals here, but those reports weren't accurate, were they?
Well, they weren't. They were misconstrued. The dominant reporting was that it was construction workers who were fighting the government of the state of Victoria over the imposition of requirements that they be vaccinated. And what was left out was the fact that the unions involved were not supporting these demonstrations. In fact, the initial demonstration was against the union leadership and the union headquarters for, in the view of the demonstrators, not being strong enough at fighting against vaccinations. And they also ignored or played down the role that right-wing protest leaders and anti-vaxxers were playing in trying to take over or hijack these demonstrations to lead them in a very negative, violent, unhelpful way. And, you know, the unions involved said they were not supporting the demonstrations. And when the union leader of the construction union came out to talk to the demonstrators, they pelted him with bottles and everything they could throw at him. So it was very clear that this was not led by the union leadership. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you know, I'm sure those people who, you know, tried to watch some of the coverage of it saw the rather extreme right wing ideology that was being expressed by the people who were standing up representing those protesters and claiming that the requirement for vaccinations was somehow communist and you know, imposition you know, against their rights.
Yeah, I really, yes. Fortunately, you know, your reporting, we are now, you know, it's quite easy to access the union leadership in Australia. It's easy to establish. They have taken a position against those protesters, and particularly they've taken a position where they condemn the misrepresentation of the story, trying to turn it into a union story when actually it was a mixed bag of people with a strong right-wing element. And that's a very important story from Australia. Tony, Leah, thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And the stories we've been talking about today are going to have legs, as they say. We'll be hearing more about it in the future. Thanks very much. See you next week.